This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. A lot of the national media focus has moved away from the story of Baltimore and Freddie Gray. But his death due to injuries sustained in police custody last month started, or actually restarted, a whole lot of conversations. Conversations about the role of police in society, about race and opportunity, and in Baltimore specifically, about jobs, the lack of jobs, and economic investment in particular parts of that city. Sandtown Winchester, the area where Freddie Gray grew up, has an unemployment rate of 22% today. But 20 years ago, under the Clinton administration, Baltimore got $100 million that city leaders said they would use to create jobs in places like Sandtown. So Noel King from our Wealth and Poverty Desk went to Baltimore and started asking around, looking for an answer to this question. How many jobs did $100 million get?
Well, Kai, everyone in Baltimore said there's one person who would know the answer.
Hi, I'm here to see Diane Bell McCoy, please.
What is your name?
My name is Noel King.
Oh, hello.
Diane Bell McCoy chaired the Empower Baltimore Management Corporation, the nonprofit that oversaw the federal dollars. The money was part of a Clinton administration plan to tackle inner-city poverty, and the plan started with a contest. Six cities would win $100 million each, plus tax breaks for business and employers. The money would be spent in the poorest neighborhoods, and those areas would be called empowerment zones. Here's Diane Bell McCoy.
I remember it was a galvanizing force in terms of all the kind of rah-rah that happens with putting an application together and bringing all the different sectors together.
She's not kidding about the rah-rah. 74 cities applied, but Baltimore sent a caravan of school buses packed with people and a marching band to D.C. to deliver the city's application. It paid off. In December 94, Andrew Cuomo, then an assistant secretary with the Department of Housing and Urban Development, announced the winners.
In particular order, New York City, Chicago, Atlanta, Detroit, Baltimore.
Cities had some leeway on how they spent the money. Chicago spent a lot on social services, Atlanta on housing for low-income people. But in Baltimore,
this must be about jobs. This must be about creating jobs. That was a mantra. There was this expectation, there was this vision in people's heads. $100 million creating jobs will then change, transform neighborhoods.
So the money was dispersed with jobs in mind. Here's a breakdown of the biggest allotments. About $35 million went to workforce development, career centers, job training. $27 million went to job creation, like small business loans. Not all the money went to jobs. $13 million went to quality of life, like cleaning up lead paint and financing home improvements. The Federal Empowerment Zone program lasted 10 years. Baltimore kept detailed records of how the money was spent. When it was over in 2004, Bell McCoy asked University of Baltimore researchers to count the number of jobs that had been created, which is why she can answer the big question. How many jobs did $100 million get you?
You know what? I brought for you an actual account of that.
Can I get you to read for me the part where it says,
From 1994 to 2004, it was estimated that there were 5,777 direct jobs created within the EZ that are directly tied to the job creation programs.
5,777.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, this was just in the poorest neighborhoods, which had a total population of about 54,000 people. 10 years later, had it worked, what do those neighborhoods look like? I started making calls to businesses who'd received tax credits or small business loans. I found some names in old housing and urban development reports, examples at the time of the program's success, like globe screen printers.
The number you dialed is not in service.
And Charm City, a sign maker.
Hello. We can help you find another business in the area since the number you called is not in service.
And Meadow, which manufactured air fresheners.
The number you dialed is not in service.
So, those businesses are closed. But Baltimore also invested some of the Empowerment Zone money in infrastructure for companies that employed hundreds of people in poor areas. I went to one. I'm in the Fairfield area of Baltimore, which is this sprawling peninsula of industrial companies, petrochemical companies, shipping companies. And I'm outside of the FMC company during the time of Baltimore's empowerment zones. This company was said to be creating or retaining about 187 jobs. In the meantime, though, all I see is a big concrete building that's empty, a parking lot that's empty, and signs saying, no trespassing, keep out. There was a truck driver idling outside in a tanker. I asked if he knew what happened to FMC, a company that makes ingredients for insecticides and herbicides.
You know what? It looked like they closed.
How long have you been working down here?
It's been years.
And you haven't seen anyone?
Nope, and if you look at the parking lot, there's nothing there. I think they closed.
He was right. FMC closed its Baltimore plant 7 years ago. 150 people were laid off. A spokesman told me via email it was, quote, part of our move to achieve more competitive costs. Today, the products that used to be manufactured in Baltimore are made in China, India, and Mexico. There were some local job creation success stories. In 1997, Sylvan Learning Systems moved its headquarters to Baltimore's Harbor East neighborhood. That's now a vibrant area of shops and restaurants, even a Whole Foods. Also, thousands of people got job training. Most analysts say Baltimore spent the money well. But then the federal funds ended and the economy changed. Douglas Austin is the president of UPD Consulting. 20 years ago, he was a subcontractor to PricewaterhouseCoopers, which provided support to the Empowerment Zone cities.
Businesses start and close doors every day. We don't say that capitalism is a failure because a restaurant that opened 5 years ago is no longer here and the 10 people that worked at that restaurant are no longer employed by that restaurant. You know, they probably gained skills that they took on into their next job, and I am absolutely certain that some of them became entrepreneurs themselves.
But this doesn't change Diane Bell McCoy's view. What bothers her is that the poorest neighborhoods are still the poorest neighborhoods.
I can tell you factually, by looking at wage record data, that people benefited. I can tell you factually that people that got loan for us for home ownership, that they still own their homes. I can tell you factually that there are some businesses that survive. I can tell you all that factually. But I can tell you that wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough for Sandtown Winchester. It's hard to find a single example of a business that started there during the Empowerment Zone decade. The unemployment rate has only ticked up. We analyzed census data in the six tracts that make up the neighborhood. During the time of the Empowerment Zones, unemployment was at 18%. 2 years ago, the most recent census data available, unemployment was at 22%. That data includes the Great Recession years. Given all of that, how do you tell the story of job creation in a place like Sandtown? Antoine Bennett has an idea. He's an outreach minister at New Song Community Church in Sandtown. In the mid-90s, right as the Empowerment Zone money was coming in, he'd just come home after a 3.5-year stint in prison on an attempted murder charge.
Before I left, you know, none of this was happening, none of this community development on this level. So when I came home and I heard that there are employment opportunities taking place, police centers to point you in the direction of employment.
He took advantage of the employment centers, worked with a youth group, then later got hired at the church.
To go through that process of being treated like a human being, after spending 3.5 years of being treated as a number, literally having people call you 205-109, which is my actual prison ID number, to being treated like Mr. Bennett. And I have not been unemployed since I've been a part of this community development effort. I have not missed a paycheck.
Bennett says the Empowerment Zones transformed him.
Our goal is to build up strong men of character in this community that the world can look and say, in that community, it is easy for them to go from ex-cons to icon in a very unique way. In that community, it's certainly this evidence that the ill-fated are truly illuminated in that community.
$100 million, 5,777 jobs, some of them gone. But at least one guy got a job and kept a job. And now, he says, neighborhood transformation is his job. In Baltimore, I'm Noel King for Marketplace.